Everyone, welcome back to the Awareness Space podcast. And today I'm sharing part two of the State of Men's Health episode, which was recorded back in, well, tail end of 2019, might even actually been the beginning of 2020, just before the pandemic really kicked in the UK. So this, as you know from the last episode, my previous podcast was Man Cove Wellbeing, and it was all about men's health. I'm going to share for over the next 10 episodes, everything from depression, anxiety, stress, the power of nature, with panels that were on the show with me. And I loved it. It was amazing. And it's really informed the show that I have today. So I'm set to record with some people in August for some shorter 30-minute in-depth one-to-ones. And they'll be coming soon. So I really hope you enjoy the forthcoming 10-episode or so series while I keep pushing my business forward and also launching my second podcast, The Coaching Pod, which will be kind of coaching from a distance, affordable. If you're listening, you'll be able to work through some things with me, coaching you through by asking the right questions. So I'm really excited about that. So thank you as always for supporting the show. And let's head over for today's episode. Welcome to The Awareness Space, the mental and emotional health podcast, exploring human experience. I'm Owen Morgan, a self-awareness and well-being coach. I focus my approach on self-awareness, self-compassion, polyvagal theory, and acceptance and commitment therapy. With a trauma-informed approach and a collaborative nature with my clients, transformation can take place. We unpack all of this and more on this podcast. We dive into how cultivating compassion, safety, and non-judgment can create a steady, resilient, and thriving life. We dive into conversations on all things trauma recovery, consciousness, the nervous system, and psychology. We invite well-being advocates, therapists, and those with recovery stories to share this space and inspire hope for others. Enjoy the one-to-one conversations and the panel shows as we enter the awareness space. So let's pick up where we left off. This is an opportunity for us to just share a little bit about our own experience of mental and emotional health and how we move through it. I think that's quite a valuable thing to say. Trying to do this in a short amount of time will be interesting, but we're going to give it a good old go, everyone. So I come from a background of childhood trauma on some level. So I was abused by a childminder around 5 and 6 years old. Mostly force feeding. I don't know if there's more memories that I don't remember, but mostly around that. And then I was okay for a while. We moved house when I was 9. That was quite intense, moving from Cardiff to Bath. I found it really, really difficult. Went into school, into secondary school, got in with the wrong crowd, was trying to convince them to be friends with me for 3 years. No matter what I did every day to try and get that approval, I would just basically get beaten up every time after school. So lots of physical abuse in there as well. And the mental strain of trying to convince them that I was worthy, in the end, probably made me feel extremely unworthy. So I came out of that, went into sixth form, got with an amazing group of friends who started to rebuild everything for me. But the damage had already been done, went into my 20s, really bad depression. To begin with, couldn't leave the house, couldn't interact with strangers. My partner would have to, when we go to the shop, she'd have to do everything. I would just carry the basket. That was how closed off I was to the world, really tough time. And then I hit hypnotherapy. That allowed me to connect a little bit more with my deeper stuff that was going on for me. Absolutely brilliant. But by doing that, I then unleashed an ungodly amount of anxiety. So everything that I was in my body from a trauma perspective all came out into my body, and I was struggling a lot with anxiety. Panic attacks, fainting, collapsing, all that kind of thing. And then I looked at NLP and some other mind-based stuff. But then I actually joined an amazing place in Bath at the Theatre Royal, where I was really surrounded by a really loving community, where everybody's in it together and they really cared about what they did. And I found that was one of the most healing things ever, was hanging around with like-minded people who heard me and could see me and would be there for me. And that was insanely powerful. I can't thank those guys enough where I am today, because that led me to becoming a personal trainer, because fitness really helped me. Got into the fitness kind of things. That led me into massage work, which allowed me to learn how to co-regulate with people properly and hold a space for people to make them feel safe, all that kind of thing. So a combination of job choices, having the right friends, and then looking at NLP, hypnotherapy, mindfulness, meditation, somatic experiencing, more body-based stuff. It was all of those things got me to where I am. So we're not here saying, go and have a session and you're sorted, because that is really not how it works. But being seen and heard by a therapist and friends equally is a really powerful way to shift. That is a very, very quick version of my story. I'm here today, obviously, with this YouTube channel, so it's obviously brought me here. So I'm going to hand over to Steve, if you can share us a little bit about what you've experienced with this and how you move forward.
Okay, let's. I'm going to bullet point it, really. Started at school when I was four, and a teacher beat me up on the second day in school. I gave me good, what I call beating up, for opening some crayons too early. I was smacked across the back of the ear, shock, frightened, didn't know what was going on, put in front of the blackboard. Didn't really realize how that colored my life. But there was verbal bullying, I would say, through school, name calling, you know, the usual stuff that a lot of people have. And then I get to 17 and I say yes when I meant no, and I got married. I was too young. Didn't know my ass from my elbow, basically. So, you know. But it happened. It was through a bit of manipulation. So that another story built into that. And then everything, I just worked hard. I just got my head down, worked hard. I had a family, I had another child come along. And then at 34 years of age, it all went wrong. And we had a divorce. So I started looking at my life and thinking I did nothing for me. Nothing. I just did it for everybody else. And I always had this fascination about hypnotherapy, the power of the mind. So I went and took a hypnosis course with no view of it being a profession, other than it may help my children. Then I got drawn into other types of therapies. And then a couple of years later, obviously I met somebody new, and some of my patterns started to kick back up. And through coaching, or being coached at the time, while I was just starting to train and things, I started to see me and who I was and who I wasn't. And then my brother was killed, tragically. So I found myself with things going wrong in the relationship again, and the brother being killed. I started going into a deep depression, and that's when I went into my darkest time, when I thought about suicides and different things. But then I thought about my children. So we'll talk a little bit later, but you know, it's about choice. And when you've got a better choice, the unconscious part of you will take the better choice. And the better choice was my children, not suicide, and what I would do to them, and what it would, how it would affect them. So something pulled me back. And from that day on, I just kept growing. I got into more work, and I've been on a journey for 22 years now. But, you know, that's why I'm able to help other people a bit more quickly, because I've got the techniques that they can learn. I had to go the long road. But I know I'll never, ever go into depression again, because it just can't happen. I've just got the tools, the know-how. You just can't go back to those places. So in a nutshell, yeah, you know, that's been my journey. And I'm in the best place I've ever been now.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Steve. That's, yeah, so powerful. Like you said, you've got all these inner resources and all of the techniques that you've learned, you know. We're not saying that life isn't going to be tough again for you at some point, but you're going to have the tools that you need.
Absolutely. There'll always be challenges. Always challenges, but you'll be aware. And that's another key thing then, is your awareness of what's going on inside you. Back to the emotional intelligence.
So Daryl, you haven't been on the planet as long, but I'm sure you have some experiences to share.
Yes, I'm 27 years old, but a lot has happened in that time, and it's taken me on quite the journey. For me, it goes back to the beginning, my earliest memory, which was, as they say generally, your earliest memory is either something really exciting or really terrible for you to remember it and it to be your first. And for me, it was the second. I remember being on holiday. Well, I don't remember being on holiday, just I remember the memory. But it was on holiday, and we were in a place, and I was lost from my parents for a little while. It was like this little kind of gift shop, and they had kind of disappeared. And it probably was only a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes, but to me, it felt really long. And I remember it being big and scary, and I just remember a few flashbacks and the feelings that I had, and it was scary. And I think it's not until later in life, particularly in my early to mid 20s, where I really kind of understood how the past can affect you so much, and these things can hold you back and are connected to what's happening around you at that time. And for me, I think it took forward then that I was quite shy in school. I didn't really want to go to school in the beginning. I was the one crying at the gate, didn't want to leave my mum. And I was very quiet in school. And throughout primary school and even quite far into secondary school, most of my reports said something about me being very quiet, not getting involved so much, and to try and be more involved. And yeah, so there's a lot of that. I was quite reserved and quiet and a very shy child. Right up into my later childhood. And I think that was a big part of it. And it got into later adult life where I gained more confidence in a sense, but I still, in early adulthood, I really struggled with, and in later childhood as well, I really struggled with who I was and how I fitted in. I often, which is strange because I had a very close family in a sense, very loving parents and family around me and very supportive in lots of ways, but I did often feel like I didn't fit in, the black sheep of the family, and even of in the society in general, the people around me. I just felt different. I felt like I didn't fit in. I felt often, I remember thinking like I'm from another planet. And it's not until I started to really address this in my early to mid-20s that I really understood the power and how it was holding me back and making me suffer. And it kept going and it kept going. And I gained confidence, but it was a tough time and I struggled a lot. And although I did have a few friends in school, I didn't make friends the easiest. And a lot of my friends, I didn't have particularly close friends or open friends. I didn't feel like I could express myself completely, I suppose. I was very shy and withdrawn in a lot of ways. I did start to gain confidence as I got older, and I got out there and I went to university and it just didn't feel right. This is where I started to feel the real lost. And a big part of that looking back was to do with not being able to connect myself and those around me. But at the time, I just felt lost to what I was going to do, and I wanted to find my passion, my purpose, and really move forward with my life. And a lot of it at the time was to kind of, looking back, was to achieve stuff, to feel more worthy, you know, more important, more valuable, like I'm worth something and I fit in, and all those kind of things. And I didn't realize it till later in life. But I really went on a journey, and I traveled a lot, and I grew a lot. I put myself out of my comfort zone so much, and I just kept pushing myself, and that helped me in a way. But I had so many ups and downs. I was the guy, the child that was very high or very low, and at the time I thought this was just me and I'd have to live with that. But it was sometimes really drastic. I felt a bit like I was on something sometimes, not that I was, but I'd be really hyper or I'd be like really down, and it was hard to find that balance and flow in between. So I carried on like that for a while, and I'd find some good moments, and I'd flow at certain periods for a little while, but it would cease, and I'd fall back down. And I felt in very low states at certain times, in a particular time in my life, in my early to mid-20s, a few years ago, I felt very down and out, and I got into a state of depression. And there's part of me that still wanted to push forward and really wanted, believed that one day these things will work out, but it got to a point where it started to get darker and darker, and that belief started to disappear. And I felt very low at this point. Looking back, it was a dark time for me. There were times where I even contemplated, can I go on? It never quite got to the knife in my hand, so to speak. But it did get close to that. It got to a point where for a few weeks in particular, often I would think to myself, can I keep doing this? This is just, if I have to live like that, keep living like this, and up and down and so confused and lost, I don't think I'll be able to go on. And it was a dark time. And I did slowly come out of it. Obviously, I'm here now speaking about this. And for me, it was the sense of trying to take control of what you can control and what you can't, in a sense. And a lot of it was subconscious at the time. And I always wanted to help people. I always cared. And I always wanted to make my life better and be of service and live my passions, so to speak. And I chased passions in the past, but it was always short-lived and never fulfilling, so to speak. So I ended up here in the darkest moment. But I just picked myself back up, and I remember a particular time of change was when I decided to go to India, and I went to a Buddhist silent retreat for 10 days. And that really helped me gain perspective, go deep within myself, reconnect like I never have before. Connect to my true voice and decide what I wanted to do. And although it wasn't exactly clear and it hasn't exactly gone as such as I thought it would, it set me up for it and it gave me a great start. I also went to different events like Tony Robbins and different things like that, and I started surrounding myself with the right people and all these different tools. I started to really learn and things started to click over all the lessons and all the things I'd done over the last few years and all the travel. I started to really get a lot from that. And I just progressed and progressed. And what really then flipped it for me was when I turned it from focus on me to others. And that is the powerful switch. When it's about you, especially when things aren't really happening and you're like, why aren't things happening? It can be, it will bring you right down so quick. But when you focus on how you can help others, and then I realized I could try and use these experiences. I didn't want people to feel the way I had. Or if they did, I wanted to be able to help them. And I didn't really have many people around me that could help me. Yeah, so I really wanted to then go out and help others. And that really flipped things completely. And I started to really get things sorted and I followed my passion a bit more. And it didn't quite work out at one point, but I got back on it and readdressed. And about 8 months ago now, I really stepped into my greatness, as I say, and really decided to give this, be true to myself and really get out there and really serve others, really be aligned to who I am and how I can help others. And that big vision, and I just stepped into it. And since then, I've flown like never before. And I mean, I've flowed like never before. And it's just amazing. I was the kid that was shy, unsure of himself, didn't feel like he fitted in, got to really low points, had highs and lows, never balanced. And now I feel so much balance, so much flow, so much purpose and passion, and so much confidence at my core, true confidence, because I know who I am, what I want, and I'm just being me authentically. And without going for that, I wouldn't have got to this. So that is my journey, and I want to use that and all of this to help and inspire and empower others. So for me, it was the darkest times, but also the brightest times, because it's led to this amazing point in my life where I am flowing and being at an amazing level, true to myself, and able to express that and share that and inspire and empower others through that energy and through the knowledge and experiences I've had. So it's amazing to come from that to this. And it just shows if someone like me can do it, you know, someone like you can do it. And it's amazing. And I want to share that message and that energy with the world. There is someone there and someone who cares, and together we are stronger and we can all help each other to become better and stay true to ourselves and love ourselves more. And it's so important and so amazing.
Are you wanting to learn how self-awareness and self-compassion can help transform your life? As a self-awareness and well-being coach, my passion is supporting people to explore how self-awareness, self-compassion, and understanding their body and mind can boost their well-being and improve their life as a whole. My mission is to share what I have learned and support people to cultivate inner peace, steadiness, and connection. I used to feel lonely, unworthy, anxious, disconnected, and stuck in my life. I want to hold a space for you to explore your thoughts, emotions, sensations, and reactions. Working with you to unpack what holds you back or shuts you down. Let's begin to cultivate self-awareness and an understanding of your experience of life. We want to set in motion the shift towards peace, self-love, and a deep sense of belief in who you are and what you need. If you are feeling lost, disconnected, or without a sense of direction or hope, then I'm here to welcome you to your awareness space. It is time to free yourself of the programs and patterns that drive your life. For more of my well-being coaching, visit www.theawarenessspace.com.
Wow, that was amazing. Thank you so much, Daryl. Feel quite moved now. I have to take a little moment. But yeah, can I just say how much respect I have for you for doing a Buddhist retreat if you are feeling those sensations in your body? Because that's not easy to sit with your body when it doesn't feel safe, essentially. So my partner, who does a lot of silent retreats, would also have a lot of respect for that. It's amazing. And what I picked up on a lot of all of our stories is the kind of being able to sit with your own suffering and your own pain. We're always trying to avoid pain and suffering, aren't we? That's kind of
seems to be mission critical. Avoid all pain and suffering that we're going through. But that's kind of one of the main issues that we're going to struggle with, is we can't ignore that stuff. It's clearly there and we need to process it and move through it. You know, you have to go through it to come out the other side. And we will talk in way more depth about that, about sitting with pain and suffering. But a lot of our narrative and thoughts, I know I know Steve knows way more than I do, but you know, that's the narrative that you start to have, starts to get set in, and a lot of that narrative can be controlled by your emotional state. So you have to be very careful about how much you believe your own thoughts. And sometimes, and quite often, they're not even factual. They're just there doing their thing. So is that what you'd say, Steve? Is that kind of where your approach to that?
Absolutely. I always say, what's your story? Because most of, you know, life is a big story anyway. And your cognitive behavior therapy, in a nutshell, is the way you think creates the way you feel, and then that creates the behaviors. So that's why it's about changing the mindset, you know. So you've got more powerful feelings and your behaviors can be more empowered. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's amazing. We will cover a lot about mind-body connection as well, you know, thoughts affecting state affecting thoughts, and the loop that we go on. So thank you, everybody, for sharing your stories today. I hope that really allows the audience to connect with us a lot more, you know, understand where we're coming from. And yeah, it doesn't matter how long time is, the time that you have can be very impactive. So that's the main thing. So we all mostly come from a complementary health perspective anyway. And we will always say that there is a place for medication. Let's not get this wrong. There is a place for it, but we very much come from a complementary health background. People can call it alternative medicine. I always call it complementary because it can be quite powerful alongside. We're not here to say, don't worry about all that medical stuff. We're just going to do this. But complementary health is so powerful, and coaching is in there too. And it is the age of the app. It's the age of meditation apps, and the apps are brilliant, but nothing will ever beat doing a meditation with an actual teacher who can create a space and guide you and give you insight, you know, very, very powerful. But the apps are still brilliant. But it's really important that we understand about the therapeutic relationship. And from a complementary health perspective, Steve, have you seen complementary health as far as helping people change over the years? Or is it just more techniques for it, but very much has always been around?
Well, I think it's always been around ancient times. I don't think we can reinvent the wheel. Most things were used, and we touched on something earlier about going back to the old ways. And I think that's so true, because a lot of things got forgotten. They've been reinvented in a different way. So, you know, all the new terminology is generally therapies that have been used, just renamed. But if you can find the right one for yourself, it can be transformational. You know, you can have a whole new life from the day or a week that you start getting into the right things for you. So
thanks so much, Steve. And actually, I always think about how many amazing Eastern based techniques that have been around for hundreds of years that, like you said, have just looped back around, had a different name, and some of them are actually reverting back to what they originally were, back to the 100% pure version. And it just shows how humans sort of take something, repackage it, and then put it out there. And I think that's not a bad thing, because people resonate with certain language and certain ways of seeing it. So that's, yeah, really, really cool. So you've just, Daryl, you've just come into this kind of scene. So what's your interpretation of complementary health? What is your perspective of it coming into it? What do you think it's doing and is helping with?
Yes, Owen, I think it's super important. I think it's kind of the missing link almost. And it's so powerful. And like we said about the children, if we do this kind of stuff and surround them with this and the awareness and educate them in this way, then it'll completely change. And it's almost the job of me to make my job obsolete as a coach, so that I'm no longer needed, in a sense, would be amazing. But at this moment in time, it's very important. It's becoming bigger and bigger. I feel it's really starting to take off, and it's really important. I feel like it helps a lot of people. And in a lot of different ways, and there's a lot of opportunities then and of different opportunities for people, which is fantastic. And you got so many different coaches and therapists and the like out there, and you got to find what's right for you, the right person for you. And then you got to really connect. It's a partnership and a journey. So it's amazing, and it's with everything that's going on now, the awareness, the amount of people that are involved in it, and social media and technology and apps and stuff like that. It's so accessible. It's so out there, and it can really make a huge impact in your life. And it's not really until you experience it that you really understand the power. So for anybody out there who's considering it, I would just say try it out and see how it goes for you. And everything will be different. So if you don't find the right person for you, just try someone different. But there's plenty of help out there, which is fantastic. And there's plenty of amazing, inspiring people out there who really do care and really want to help. And it's really interesting culturally as well, if we think about it like that. It's very different in different cultures across the world. My wife's Indian, and I know that they very much have a huge focus and importance around meditation and yoga from a young age in this daily part of most people's lives. And I know it's obviously yoga's taken off here big time, but it's been since they were very little, generational thing, which is amazing. And it doesn't mean it's perfect over there in every way, but in that sense, there's always differences in terms of culture, which are interesting and amazing, and we can learn from.
Yeah, I never thought about it from the cultural perspective, of course, and how certain children brought up with a lot more awareness just because that's coming from a cultural background. And obviously, we're all UK-based, so I guess our interpretation of mental health and comprehensive health is coming from that. I know a lot of Americans as well, and it's all slightly different over there. Their medical system's completely different. Obviously, they have to pay for most of their stuff, so they're going to be much more wary about looking after themselves than someone, say, with free healthcare. But that's a whole other episode. But you kind of see all the different influences that we all have. And I'm hoping a lot of the stuff that we talked about today is going to resonate with all cultures anyway. We've got some Q&A stuff coming up, and I'm wary that we want to keep enough time for that. This is a really loaded question, and it's a really tricky one to answer, but it's what are our hopes for the future of men's health? And I think logically everybody will say, well, we just hope more men will reach out. But I think it's more than that. I think for men's health going forward, I think the internet, as toxic as it can be and social media can be, it's also extremely powerful. And with the world of apps and kind of what we do in Mancove Wellbeing, I think empowering people with knowledge and education is the first place to start. And we need to use this multimedia tool, I think, to make that happen, which is why I'm doing what I'm doing with this. And I just hope that, like we said, this generation, our generation, well, yours, Daryl, really, is the one that's going to really make the shift and the change. And our generation, me and Steve, can leave an imprint, I hope, on the generation following us and give them some tools, because our experience is quite valuable and we can pass it on to them, which is really cool. So, Steve, what are your hopes for men's health, as big as that question is?
Well, obviously, the big focus we've got is on male suicide. So, you know, I'm driven down here in the valleys to eradicate it, basically. That's what I'd like to see, that we hear less and less that men are taking their own lives. And I'm probably tapping into the creative side, because it goes back to a choice again, doesn't it? You know, if you've got a better choice, the unconscious will take it. So instead of taking the suicide, you'll take something more powerful, and you move into a better way of living. So yeah, that's what I want to see, is I want to hear at the end of this year that there's been less suicides than last year. And then as we move forward, it starts that it's something we don't hear of anymore. Much like when I was in school, I suppose, maybe they were there, but we were hearing nothing about them. But I want to hear nothing about them, because they're not there.
Yeah, I can totally agree with that one. Daryl, what about yourself? Your hopes?
The future of men's health. I believe it's really bright. I believe it's really going to shift. I think we're at an important stage right now, and a lot is already starting to happen, and it'll get to a tipping point, especially with this educating the youth, and more of us that are open, the more people open up. And when it gets to a certain level, it'll just shift and there'll be a tipping point and it'll completely change. And it may take 10, 20 years, but it's going to happen. It needs to happen. We want it to happen, and it will happen. So it's amazing. I think it's a great space. And like we say, with all this technology, and you've got all these shows you can get on your phone, podcasts and apps, and people out there with big movements. And really, there's so many people I've met, including myself, that really do care. And really, it's a big mission for us to make it happen. It's so important to us. It's a big part of it. It's a big part of my mission. People step into their greatness, and men's health is a huge part of that. So it's, yeah, so important. It's going to be so, so bright, and I'm going to do my part as best I can. And I know there's usually people I've met already and people around me that are doing this, and there's got to be changes. It's so amazing.
Amazing. Thanks, guys. Yeah, I mean, that's
all exactly where I think all of us want this all to be. And I hope MCW can make some small impact on that as we go along. And I hope the show does as well. It's the whole point of the show. A load of guys just talking about being a guy and health and everything else that goes with it. And we're going to have some absolutely amazing guests on with us to share their wisdom. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody, for watching, listening, or however you're taking in this information. We will be back next time with a subject from the Men's Health Mancove Wellbeing Channel. So thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope it has been of value. Please do subscribe and click follow on whichever platform you listen on. I have wellbeing courses, coaching services, and other informative content over at www.theawarenessspace.com. Thank you again. Until next time, I wish you a wonderful day.